If you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're in verses 17 to 21 tonight. You can check out the screen if you didn't bring a Bible tonight. It'll be up there. 1 Peter. That's right before 2 Peter. Bible joke. Sorry. There it is. All right, let's read this together. Yeah, it's warm. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 to 21. Here we go. It says, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Peter starts off, and the first word he says here is since, because he's going to kind of take a look back at the passage we did last week. Who could tell me what specifically did we talk about last week that he's saying since about? Anyone remember? Ooh, we need to pay attention, don't we? All right, I'll remind you. That's refreshing. Last week we talked about this holiness thing that we just said like a couple minutes ago, and the work that's done in you that we call salvation. And he's saying, since you're saved, since Jesus Christ has done all this stuff for you, that you need a way to get back with God, and Jesus did that. And if you believe in him, you have that. And this awesome salvation works something inside of you and makes you under the influence of something better than drugs and alcohol and anything else in this world, under the influence of God himself, so that you can do amazing things, and he's going to change your life. Because of all of that, he's given us something we should do. All right? He's saying this, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, in reference to all that salvation we just talked about, do you know that because you're saved and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can call God Father? Since you are able to call the God of the universe, the one who made every molecule, every atom, who made you be blonde or brunette or whatever you are, he made everything about you and everything in all of existence, the biggest stars, the smallest little germs, he made it all, and you get to call him Father. Since you call that amazing God Father, who's the same exact God who is a judge, and this judge judges each man's work impartially. Who knows what impartially means? Is that a big word? I don't even know what prejudice means. Without prejudice, impartiality, without what? Favorites. God doesn't look down and say, oh, that's Derek Sawyer, so you know what, I'll let him off the hook. I know he's done a couple of these things over here, and I saw what you were doing last week, Derek, but you know what, I'll excuse that. It's okay, Derek. I'll let you by because you're Derek Sawyer. He looks at every single one of us, and he looks at us and judges us based on the works that we do. So if you're a good person, guess what, it's still not good enough. He saw that one time that you may have messed up your whole life, and that condemns you to hell. Bummer. Like, that's pretty bad. He knows every last thing about us, and he will judge every single one of us based on our works. You're like, Pastor Rob, but wait a minute. I thought the whole thing about salvation is that you don't have to work for it. It's not based on our works. Well, here's the beautiful thing. You get to call him Father. You're not judged based on your works. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him for salvation, he's not going to be that judge that looks at you and says, Caitlin, this is the list of things that are going to send you to hell. Instead, he looks at Caitlin and says, oh, wait, I don't see you anymore. I see my son Jesus on you. And now you get to call me Father, and now I see his perfection. And so now I look at you and Caitlin, you're perfect. I'm not being biased. You're playing favorites. You're perfect because you have the perfect blood of Jesus covering up all the stuff that you ever did, washing it and making you brand new. But if you don't have Christ, if you don't know God and trust in him, he's this judge that looks at you, and your sin is bad enough to separate you from God forever. And so he's this judge that you get to call Father. And then it says, because of that, this is what he wants you to do. Live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. Now, my dad, we used to have this dog. It was this big, beautiful, purebred German Shepherd. It weighed like 125 pounds. It was beautiful. It's an awesome, awesome dog. It passed away a couple weeks ago. My dad had him forever. Like, my dad was bawling. Like, you know, it's his puppy. It's like his baby. He loved it more than me. And I'm just kidding. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening on the internet. So he gets this new dog because he's like moping around the house. He's all sad. And every morning he'll go out and have his coffee on the back porch. He's like, I used to come out with my dog. So my mom's feeling like horrible for him. So she goes and gets him a new dog. But this new dog looks just like my old one. And it's another purebred, but it's like 4 inches taller. It's got these huge legs. It's already like 100-something pounds. And it's only a year and a couple months old. So it is the biggest puppy you've ever seen in your life. And if you know how puppies play, this is like a 100-something-pound puppy jumping on you. He thinks he's nibbling and being all cute, but he's like, whoom! And his teeth are like this long, and like you're missing limbs before you know. Like, he's rough. He's rough. And he thinks he's just being a puppy. Well, when he came into my house, because he's already in my parents' house, he's already a year, over a year old. So he had this other home he was with that he was taken out of. So when he gets in there, my parents have this like hardwood floor all over their house. And big dogs, they don't like to be slippery, you know, and they got these nails and it makes noise. So he walks in the house and the first thing he hears, click, 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 and he's like, what's that? Like, he's freaking out. Like, what's going on? And he goes to take a step and he's like, he's sliding. He's like, oh no. He's like on ice, you know? And so he's trying to walk around this house and he's going nuts. He's looking around him. He's like thinking someone's chasing him. He's like looking at, what's going on with his floor? He hates everything about the house. He feels so foreign there. And so, I've never seen a dog do this. Have any of you ever seen a dog just back up? Like, literally walk backwards? All right, it's a very rare thing for dogs. This dog doesn't just back up. This dog, if you call him from across the house, will turn so his butt's facing you. No, I don't lie. And then he'll walk the entire length of the house this way. It looks like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. Totally does. And he's freaking himself out because the floor is slippery while he's trying to moonwalk. And he's like, ah, ah, and he's like looking around. He's like this nervous wreck. He's going crazy. Try to play ball with him. He doesn't want to play ball. He's trying to feed him. He won't eat. He's miserable. And he'll sit by the front door and just like stare waiting. Like, when's my owner coming back? He wants to leave. Like, he doesn't feel good in my house, in my parents' house. And, so I'm like, I'm going to get this dog to chill out. So I decide I'm going to chase him a little bit. You know, you got to play chase the dog. I'll chase him around and roughhouse him. Woo, 100-something-pound puppy. You don't want to roughhouse him. So anyway, I run after him. And this dog takes off, runs across my house, thinks he's going out back to, like, escape, and nails the sliding glass door with the top of his face. He leaves his big doggy nose print just sliming all over the thing, and he just drops to the floor. He's like, boom! I mean, he's like the dog version of Garfield in my window. It was awesome. I mean, it was horrible. Terrible. Animal cruelty. This dog hated, like, his new home for a couple of days, and he did not feel comfortable there at all. And he didn't want to have anything to do with anything. He just wanted to leave as he, like, stared at the front door. And as Peter's talking to us, he's telling us to live as strangers here, like in this life, in this world. And I think about that dog and the way he didn't want anything. All he wanted to do was sit there and look at that door and long for his home. He wanted to long to actually go home. And he didn't want the food. He didn't want the toys. He didn't even want to play. He just wanted to get out and go home. And Peter's talking about our life and he's saying, do you love this life? Or do you love the life to come? Do you love the things that you have around you that you've learned to, like, just really, really enjoy so much that you can kind of care less about God and what he wants for you? Are you so in love with this life that you could kind of care less about where your real home is? Paul says, we saw this earlier when we saw another series in Philippians, that we are citizens of heaven. Like, that's where our citizenship lies. That's where our home is. And so we should long for home. We should long for the things of home, long for the things of God, for this amazing creator that loves us so much. Peter's saying holiness means that you long for the creator more than you long for all this other garbage in your life that you think is so awesome, but in the end is going to bite you every single time. It's just going to crumble under you. What do you long for? Because holiness means that you should be a stranger here, and not in a scared way like my dog was, like, what is that? Freaking out. But in a type of fear he calls reverent fear. Not just like nervous. not hate this world, like I don't want to be here, but in a way that says, I respect my Father, the one that you call Father instead of Judge. I respect Him so much as I live in this place where He put me, but I long for Him. And He means more to me than anything else. He means more to me than the sport that I play. He means more to me than the friends that I hang around. He means more to me than how much money I have or what kind of car I drive. He means more to me than anything else. If people laugh at my jokes or like me or listen to my stories, He means more to me than anything else. And I long for Him, and I long for that home. And I ask you guys, if you love Christ, do you long for Him? Do you long for your real home? Because you're not from here. You're a citizen of heaven, and He says, long for your Father. With respectful fear, you can call this God Dad. You should be different. You should look different, live different, not because you try to, but because He's your Dad, and you should be like your Dad. Then He says in the next verse, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. The thing that He says that you know is that you were redeemed. If you believe in Christ, know that you are redeemed. And He wants you to know why you're redeemed. He wants you to know why you're saved. Because too many of us just show up at church and think that's it. And we honestly could care less. It's a social club. We come and we hang out with our friends, we have a good time, we go home, and we could care less about God, we could care less about His Word, we could care less about worshiping our hearts out to Him. We just want to hang out with people. And hey, that's an awesome thing. We should love people. It's one of the things in our mission statement here. But don't forget why we're here. That we come because there is a huge God that we call Father who has redeemed you. Redeemed you means that you are broken. You're born broken into this world with no way to have an access to God. And Jesus Christ came along and died for you so that you could see this God again and talk to Him and have a relationship with Him, because with sin in your life, you can't. And He's saying, look, you are redeemed, and look, you're not redeemed by perishable things such as silver or gold. Now, silver or gold refers to idols. Back then, the Jews would make these idols out of silver and gold and worship them. Well, big deal. If I make this podium an idol and I sit here and I pray to it, it's still going to sit there and look right back at me. It's not even going to look back at me. It's just going to sit there. This is going to do nothing. This will actually break down and eventually just be a rotten piece of metal laying on the floor. And Paul's saying, all these people go out and they make these idols and they think they're gods because they want to worship something. Every single one of us wants to worship something. And you do worship things every single second of your life. You're worshiping something. I don't care if you think you are or not. You are. Because the clothes that you put on, you probably picked because you like that brand. Right? Hopefully. Or else you're just kind of weird. You just grabbed it because I hate it so much. The places you go, because you like it. We have preferences. And eventually, as you go down that line of things that you like, it starts to turn into like, this is what my life is about. I live for this. Ask yourself, what do you live for? Some of us live to be worshipped. We can't wait to step on the field so that people see us and they clap and they yell our name and they're so proud of us and they watch us and we want to get on that basketball court and we want to play the best we can play so that people are like, yeah, go. We want the worship, but our lives are about worship one way or another. And He's saying, this thing that redeemed you, this isn't some broken idol, some waste of your life that's just going to get corrupted and disgusting and broken and not last. This is something that wasn't handed down to you from your forefathers, this empty way of life. Remember the Jews used to have this sacrificial system, which means like, they couldn't have access to God, so what they would have to do is take these like animals and kill them and burn them and like make a sacrifice. And so in order to get forgiveness for their sins, they'd have to do that. But what would they have to do the next time? The exact same thing. They'd have to go right back and do it. And as a matter of fact, they couldn't stop. They had to keep doing this all the time. It was this broken way that was temporary and never worked. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm going to fulfill that. That was just a way to look forward to what I was going to do, and I've done for you now. And if you believe in Christ, you don't have to go sacrifice animals and do all this crazy stuff so you get access to God again. You have the Lamb. And look what it says in the next verse. The precious blood of Christ. He is a Lamb without blemish or defect. All this stuff in our lives that we try to worship, that we love so much, that we give glory to, whether we know it or not, the things that we desire so much and we put them above God, those idols that we have in our lives are going to break and they're going to pass away. But this blood of Jesus is so precious. It has no defect. It will not be corrupted and it will not pass away. And so when we make that excuse that often we make, and we say, well, not a big deal, like I'm saved, so that's cool. I'm human, I'm going to mess up. You may as well look God straight in the face and say, God, Jesus' blood isn't enough to change me. The blood of the Son of God isn't enough to produce holiness in me. Peter's saying the only way that holiness can be made in you, the only way that you can be brought right with God, and I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to believers, so don't tune me out and say, oh, I've already heard that, yeah, I'm saved, I'm good. He's talking to believers. You need to know and trust that the blood of Christ is enough to change you and stop sitting in your same chair every week and doing nothing for God. Because that's not what you're called to do. The blood of Christ should be powerful enough in you for you to get rid of your dumb excuses why you can't and to stand up and do something for the God who loves you, made you, and saved you. And His blood is precious and it is strong enough. And how dare you look God in the face and say you're not enough? Because He is. Holiness is produced inside of you as you start to fall in love with your God. And Christ's blood changes you. And He's not this judge looking at you going, I can't wait for you to mess up. I just want to slap you and condemn you for your sin. He's a God that says, I love you so much, I'll die for you. So you don't have to. And then I'm going to make you holy as you fall in love with me. I'll get rid of the garbage out of your life so you can live a free life. And yet we look back and go, God, don't put chains on me. He's offering you freedom. He's offering you life. Any of you guys ice skate? No? You're like, that's random. Not many of you. I know it's Florida. It's hard to do. Soon it will be cold enough. Well, I went ice skating this one time. I used to be big. I lived in Massachusetts, so I was big into ice skating. And I tried to play hockey a few times. My brother was, like, really good. He was in the minor leagues. But I went out with all these buddies of mine, and we're ice skating. And it was, like, public night. You ever been, like, public skate night where, like, grandmas are there with, like, little kids, like, all sorts of ranges of people. And, like, the place is packed, and everybody, like, holding hands to cheesy music and, like, skating around. Like, it's really retarded. But so me and my buddies would go. I mean, it's really cool. My buddies and I would go, and we'd just try to mess around. Like, we'd play tag in between, like, all the people and try to, you know, sneak in between. We'd end up knocking people over and stuff. And so we'd dare each other to do crazy things. Well, my buddies were like, hey, we dare you to do one of those little jumpy, flippy things. And I'm like, dude, I can skate backwards. I can play a little hockey. Like, I'm a good skater. I can do this. I'm going to try it. So I go, man. And I start off, and I'm like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. Not like that because I'm, like, on dry ground, but I look more like a duck. But I'm taking off, actually, and I'm, like, going, I'm flying, and I get some speed, and I launch. Okay, and I'm, like, up in the air, and I'm feeling, like, kung fu, dude. I'm, like, whoa, through the air, like the Matrix, and I'm, like, I'm doing this. I can feel it. It was awesome. And then as my foot, my skate hit the ice, I felt my ankle go, and dude, I came down. And now here's the thing. When you're up in the air flipping in a circle, usually when you land on slippery ice, you continue to flip in a circle. So as I hit, my stomach goes straight to the ground. Hands and feet go straight out with centrifugal force. And I do the helicopter. And I'm going around the ice, like fast. Right? Now, don't forget, there's tons of people. So I am taking people out right and left. there's old ladies flying, there's like socks everywhere, I mean, people are going all over the place, and I'm taking some mad people out, okay? And it's like a kung fu movie, it was awesome. Well, I get up, finally, dizzy, I get helped up, and everybody hates me, and my friends are like, dude, what happened, did you stink, like, it was horrible, and I was like any self-respecting skater would do, I was like, dude, it was the rental skates. Like, it was totally the skates. And have you ever done that? You, like, blame it on the thing that you're using instead of saying, no, I just stink really bad at this. Like, I'm horrible. Like, you know that kid in your class who, like, always, like, messes up at everything he tries, but then he's always like, no, it wasn't me. Like, it was a soccer ball, dude. It wasn't me. Like, oh, no, it was the football was really slippery, so I dropped. He's like, you just stink. You're horrible. Like, but nobody wants to admit it. Well, that's what I did. I was like, no, dude, it's the rental skates. I could have done it. Here's the thing. We have that in us as humans to blame something else. We have that in us to say, it wasn't me. It was this or that or the other thing. And Peter's looking at believers that say, I love Christ, but yet they're making excuses and they're going, I can't live a holy life because... Peter's saying, it doesn't depend on garbage like it used to. It doesn't depend on something that's going to crush under your feet when you try to stand up. It depends on the blood of Christ that can never, ever fail. The blood of God is strong. Don't you dare make that excuse. I'm not good enough to make a difference for God. I'm not good enough for Him to use me. I'm not good enough for Him. No, He is good enough. The blood of Christ is good enough to change your life. And I don't know how many of you are sitting there tonight and you're just thinking like, yeah, big deal. Like, I'm just here again because I just got used to it. And I just come back. I'm glad you come. I don't care why you come. I'm glad you're here because God wants you here. God has you in this room so that He can just tell His truth to you. And if you came just because you really didn't have anything better to do, or your parents wouldn't let you out anywhere else, good. I'm glad because you're going to hear that God has big plans for you. And if you believe in Him, stop sitting in your chair doing nothing. And start trusting that the blood of Christ is big enough to do some amazing things in your life. Get up and be a leader. Get up, go back to your schools and start telling people in your schools how much God loves them. Stop watching them walk past you knowing that they don't know Christ and they're destined for hell. And you can just peacefully walk by them. When will the day come that we're burdened for those people, that we actually feel for them? And that we trust that the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, is enough. Peter kind of gives us a wake-up call there, and he finishes this little passage we're going to look at here. He says this. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Jesus Christ was chosen before anything was made. It was chosen that He would come and die for you. God wasn't in heaven going, oh man, Caleb Hobbs, why did you sin? Now I have to send my son down to earth. Now he's going to die on a cross, get beaten, all because of you. It's your fault. He wasn't like surprised. Before the creation of the world, God already had planned that He would send His Son Jesus and that He would die on a cross to express His forgiveness and mercy and love for us. Why would He want to do that? This God has such a tremendous love for you, whether you realize it or not. He's chasing after you and He wants to grab a hold of your heart and say, hey, wake up. Look how much I love you. Look how I can change your life. Look at this last verse that Peter tells us here. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. And I want to end with this question tonight. Where's your faith and hope? When things go wrong, where do you turn? When things are good, what do you love the most? What do you put your faith and your trust and your hope in? What are you leaning on in your life? If you believe in Christ, you might need to take a minute and say, do I lean on Christ? Is he what I love the most? Because if it's something else, some of us might need to just repent. We might need to just take a minute and say, God, forgive me for this. Get me focused again, back on what's actually important, as I live as a stranger in this world and in love with you. Will you close your eyes for just a minute and just bow your heads? The band's going to come back up. And as you sit there, I'm going to shut up for a minute, and I just want you to take a minute to pray. I don't care why you came tonight. It really doesn't matter. I just want to ask you a favor. If you do this for me, humor me, even if you think it's stupid, just will you just think in your own head and ask yourself that question? What means the most to me in my life? And is it going to last? Can I really depend on this thing that I love so much? Or is it just going to fall apart on me? As you think about that question, if that thing you're imagining in your heart right now isn't God, man, this is your time to just pray and make it God. Say, God, man, I don't understand what all this stuff is, but I want to know you. I want to know what this is about. I've been a believer. I still haven't got this passion for you. I want that. Tell him. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, look, for you, I want you to get up if you can and just quietly make your way to the back. If you need to say, hey, I don't even know who Jesus is and what all this God stuff is, but I'd like someone just to explain it real quick to me. We get station leaders in the back that want to talk to you. They're not going to make it awkward. They'll just answer your questions, and feel free to get up and go back there. And otherwise, the band's going to play one last song. You might know it, you might not, but I want to invite you to come up here. And you can worship with this song. You can pray during it. Just make this you and God time and start. Just look at your heart tonight. Where is your faith and hope? You can come up.